puer qui natus est nobis, plus quam propheta est, hic est enim de quo salvato rait, inter natos mulierum non surexit maior Ioanni Baptista. The child that unto us is born is much more than a prophet, for this is he of whom the Saviour said, Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, during the course of the liturgical year, we celebrate only three nativities, that of our Lord, that of our Lady, and that of St. John the Baptist. This fact alone should make us realize the grandeur of our saint of today. The dies natalis of a canonized saint is in fact the day of their death on earth. When we celebrate the feast of a saint, we in fact celebrate their birth in heaven, the dies natalis. However, this is not the case with the births of Our Lady and St. John the Baptist. The birth of the precursor of the Messiah has been celebrated in the liturgy since the 6th century. Let us not forget that even today, this is a day of innumerable graces. 2 years ago, when it was the Feast of the Sacred Heart, Divine Providence thought it fit that the Supreme Court of this land should strike down the old law on abortion through the Dobbs versus Jackson decision. That day, and this day still, is the feast of St. John the Baptist, who recognized our Lord at the Visitation and leapt in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth. If anyone ever needed an argument on the humanity of the unborn, this would be it. Our Lord himself said about his cousin, Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. We read in the Gospels of St. Matthew and St. Luke. Let us take a look at what our own St. Francis de Sales had to say about this, one of the favorite of his in the Communion of Saints. Appropriately, it is during Advent, in three of his sermons, that St. Francis de Sales speaks so eloquently of the virtues of the one who cried in the wilderness, Prepare ye the ways of the Lord. Behold thy God. All of you are familiar with today's gospel, in which Zacharias, the father of the Baptist, writes on a tablet that the name of the boy born to him will be John. Very few note the miraculous circumstances surrounding this passage of the Gospel of St. Luke. As soon as he was told by an angel of God that a son would be born to him and his wife in their old age, Zacharias was incredulous, and for this unbelief he was struck dumb. God, who is justice himself, would not visit injustice upon anyone. Zacharias was a priest in the temple, well instructed in the law and the prophets. Of all who should know his faith well, he should not have doubted that such a thing is impossible to God. However, it is clear from this punishment that he did. What should be surprising is that when asked, his wife, St. Elizabeth, should herself say that their new son should be named John. There is no record that Zacharias would have told his wife of this. It is clear, St. Augustine tells us, that the Holy Spirit informed her of this name, which no one, as we read in today's Gospel, no one in the family shared. This feast falls on June 24th, 3 months after the Annunciation, and 6 before Christmas. The fact that he leapt in the womb of his mother at the Visitation indicates to us that he was filled with the Holy Spirit at the moment that Saint Elizabeth heard the greeting of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is the only reason that he could have shown this sign of joy. Many are the commentators who say that this fact alone should show that he was cleansed of original sin while still in the womb of his mother. He clearly knew at the visitation that he was in the presence of the Messiah. St. Francis tells us that there was no one with a more penetrating knowledge of the mystery of the Incarnation. He was the precursor of our Lord and announced his coming to the world. It was he who baptized him, who saw the Holy Spirit descend as a dove on him, and who heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It is he who pointed him out in these words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," which we hear every time we come to Mass, just before communion. The Baptist could say of him that he was unworthy to undo the straps of his sandals. He must increase and I must decrease. In the first of his sermons of Advent, St. Francis speaks of St. John sending two of his disciples to our Lord to ask if he indeed was the long-awaited Messiah. He follows the teaching of St. Hilary of Poitiers and of St. John Chrysostom, who say that the precursor, who was in prison at that time, knew that his time was coming to an end and wanted to end his ministry on earth by sending his disciples to our Lord as he was expected to do so. He must increase and I must decrease. After spending his time preaching about the coming of our Lord, it was only right that when the Messiah was here, that his disciples go and follow him. Now they could be instructed personally by Jesus. Moreover, while he was still alive, it was the best time to bring them to take the necessary steps to detach themselves from him and attach themselves to our Lord. He must increase, and I must decrease. Dear faithful, this should bring us to think of our saint's exquisite humility. When he was asked if he was the Christ, the Messiah, St. John the Evangelist tells us that he confessed and did not deny that he was not the Christ. Our Doctor of Charity tells us that pride, arrogance, and ambition are the principal and most powerful of temptations. The scribes and Pharisees sent doctors and religious men to inquire of the Baptist if he was the Christ. And this is when he gave his humble answer. St. Francis de Sales tells us that his humility was truly perfect. Effectively, the people sent by the scribes and Pharisees certainly had the sacred scriptures at their fingertips. Our Lord was present in their midst, performing all kinds of miracles, but they did not want to accept him. Therefore, they go to the Baptist so that if he agreed, they would proclaim him the Messiah. However, his humility was so perfect that he triumphed over these temptations of pride, ambition, and arrogance. He rejected not only the honors, the preeminence, and titles, which did not apply to him, but what is even more amazing, he rejected even those that he could have accepted in some way or another. He, being like the rest of us, was certainly capable of committing venial sins. Yet he had attained such a degree of humility that he triumphed beautifully over every pride and ambition, spurning and refusing to accept all the dignities and honors offered to him. He did not waste time in long explanations. He simply confessed and did not deny. Three times he was asked if he was Elijah, a great prophet, or the Christ himself. And he simply confessed and did not deny. "I am not Elijah. I am no great prophet. I am not the Christ." How different are we when we are offered honors, praises, or flattery? Let us remind ourselves in these occasions, he must increase and I must decrease. When they finally asked him who he was, he said simply that he was a voice. "I am the voice of him who cries out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" Since they knew their scriptures, they would have recognized this verse from the prophet Isaiah. Let us therefore turn to this greatest of men, born to a woman, as our Lord called him. Indeed, he had Our Lady for an aunt, Saint Joseph for an uncle, and our Lord himself for a cousin. Let us remind ourselves, every time we are challenged, he must increase and I must decrease. O Saint John the Baptist, precursor of the Messiah, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.